Zone with Candace,
Delia,
and Jazz.
And we are back for another virtual episode. We are here to talk about all things life, love, and legacy. Actually, this episode is basically a continuation of last week because so much is still going on, and so much of what we talked about last week, what we wanted to see just kind of happen as a follow-up to the events, happened. You know, we talked about people going out to vote, and that happened this week. We talked a lot about allies, and then that happened this week. I mean, I want to say there's a touch of the prophetic when we get together. So, Jazz, if you could just give us that recap of some of the things we talked about last week.
Mm-hmm. So for those who haven't, go back and get that first episode so you can get the full picture. But basically what we talked about was just a little bit of our own experience with how we're processing what's been going on lately. We talked about trauma fatigue, which is basically being sick and tired of seeing that same cycle replay in society with police brutality and Black killings every week. We talked about allies, what an ally is to our non-Black friends, our non-Black contacts in our community, and how they can step up and be a voice and support the Black movement. So we'd like to encourage all of our listeners, but especially our non-Black listeners, to go back and get that episode. Give us some feedback. We're open to questions. We would love to hear your perspective and to engage with you on these issues.
Yeah, very good. Let's give a shout out to some of those viewers and listeners, because we got feedback from a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Jazz was doing a really good job of moderating that. What's some of the feedback you got, Jazz?
So for those who don't know, our podcast, although we're all stationed stateside right now, we actually started off in Seoul, South Korea. So a lot of our listeners from season one are either native Koreans or expat Koreans. And so we do have a diverse audience. So I was really glad to hear back from some of our Korean friends saying, hey, thank you for sharing this. Thank you for informing us, for educating, for relating, for making the issue, kind of breaking it down and making it easy for people who don't share our background to kind of jump in, get their feet wet a little bit and understand and learn. Mm-hmm. So it was good. Mm-hmm. We also had white friends, of course, responding, sharing, saying that they had some conversations in their own households. So I feel like we're doing our part to, you know, further the conversation.
Yeah.
Hey, white friends. We appreciate y'all. Dee, what's some of the feedback that you were getting from friends and family? Any constructive criticism?
Friends and family were definitely excited that we were doing this again to hear our voices, and then this time the added bonus of being able to see us and connect the face with the voice. I think they, you know, are really enjoying that and are really looking forward to hearing what else we, you know, we want to share. And then also feeling like, you know, we had people, you know, in our voices, in our conversations that we had last time, you know, we didn't always agree on everything, but there was a lot of feedback that said, you know, thank you so much for all of the different perspectives, and thank you for sharing, you know, how you guys shared and what you guys shared, and just being able to provide that space for us to talk about how the three of us individually were dealing with things and how the three of us individually were feeling about things, but then to be able to support one another and hear each other and encourage each other. And so I got a lot of feedback from family and friends who were just like, you know, thank you. I definitely identified with what Candace said, you know, or I definitely identified with what Jazz said. And, you know, that I didn't know what to say, or I didn't have that language for it. But hearing you guys talk about it, that's exactly what I was thinking or feeling. And so even that phrase, that trauma fatigue, you know, phrase, like they were like, yes, that's exactly what it is. Like you guys hit the nail on the head. So yeah, we've, you know, been getting a lot of positive feedback from my family and friends in that manner.
What about any questions that listeners might have had? Did you guys get any questions coming back?
One thing that was brought to my attention that I didn't think of immediately, and I want to get y'all's take on this. What would you say to an ally, so a non-Black person, that is learning, educating themselves, they're listening, they want to be a part of the movement as an ally, but they come from a family that is not there yet. So what would you say to kind of help them, help their family, or kind of like get that conversation started?
That's a good question. Dee?
He's gonna throw it on over here. It's a good question. It's a hard question because you first and foremost don't want to alienate or cause any disunity within your own family, right? So you want to protect that.
Right.
But you do also want to stand up for what you believe and stand up for what you know in your heart is right. So if that's how you're feeling and you want to begin to have those conversations, I think like Jasmine was saying last time, is just start small. You know, when you mm-hmm. see certain things, maybe just kind of bring it up. I think there are a lot of people who are nervous to bring those things up because they're like, I don't want to cause any issues. I don't want to say the wrong thing. And in my opinion, sometimes it's better to kind of say the wrong thing and learn how to say it right as opposed to not saying it at all. Mm-hmm. So if you start off small and if you start off with just like a little thing, you know, you bring up maybe something that you saw or something you read, you point to an article or a podcast or, you know, something that somebody else has posted that might give them a little bit more context and they might be more open to it, to hear it from another source as opposed to just you. Because I also think a lot of times when we try to talk to our family, they're like, man, you don't know what you're talking about, you know. But if you point to another source or somebody else who's saying it, they hear it different. You know what I mean? Like, we just hear stuff different when it comes from people that we don't have, personal relationships with. So that might be a way that you can start off, is just start small. Don't try to, you know, go guns blazing on them. That might cause some issues.
Not at Thanksgiving. Don't do that.
Right. Like, don't go guns blazing. You know what I mean? Just kind of start small. Have one conversation after the next. That's really all it needs to be, is just one conversation after the next. You know,
that's really good. I think another thing is for the person who is kind of learning and moving forward in this particular issue, invest in your relationships with your Black friends. Get to know your Black people in your circle, whether it's your coworkers, your neighbors, because the way that we kind of understand each other is through relationships, and that's how we break down those barriers, and that's how you humanize people, and that's how you build those personal connections that blow stereotypes out of the water. So I would encourage people to do that, to reach out, make personal connections, personal contacts, get to hear some stories firsthand from people who have experienced it, and that's kind of a way that you can pass that along to your family and friends who may not be there yet.
That's a really good point, because go ahead, Candace.
Well, I'm just curious, what if you're watching all these things happen and you realize that you don't have any Black friends in your circle? Is now the time to go get some Black friends?
Well,
it depends on your approach, I guess.
It's like dating, right? Like, you have to have an approach. You can't just be like going out there on the street to grab somebody just so they can be your token Black friend. Like, that's not it, you know. Be genuine, right. Real, be yourself. You don't have to, don't just go out to get a Black friend to be cool and to join the movement so you can post a hashtag and a picture with your Black friend on Instagram. Like, that's not okay. We're not props, we're people. Make it personal, be genuine, be real. Don't switch it up. Don't switch up your talk, your lingo, your vibe when you're around your Black friends. Be authentic, be yourself, and they will get to know you for you.
I don't know. You know what? One of the things that I hear a lot when people do switch up is like, what up, bro? And that kind of thing. So that's not okay. Don't approach somebody you don't know that's Black and be like, what up, bro?
Why? Why you feel the need to do that? Like, there's no reason to do that.
I'm just saying.
Be authentic. And that person is either going to like you for who you are or they're not. And that's okay. Like, you don't need to switch it up.
Yeah. Especially not on initial contact. That wouldn't be the way that I would want to be approached. You know what I mean? Like, I'd probably look at you like, what are you doing? You know?
Good. Okay. One of the other things when Delia was mentioning like how to ease into a conversation, there's so much on Netflix right now that can help initiate conversation. Like, it's really hard to come up to your mom and say, hey, mom, you know how you said that racist thing the other day? Let's talk about that, you know? But it's real easy to be put on Netflix. Right now, 13th by Ava DuVernay, it's a Netflix documentary that basically starts from slave ring visas all the way up to today. And you don't have to say nothing, just push play. She actually made a educational companion to go along with that, that you can find. I'll put the link at the bottom in our YouTube channel. So even afterwards, if you show this to your family, you watch it yourself, it answers a lot of questions in a beautiful way about what's going on now and how we got here. And then there are lots of follow-up questions and dialogue in that companion educational site that she has as well. So, I mean, it's hard to deal with people who are not kind of understanding and don't see the problem, but we have the beautiful Ava DuVernay to help out with that. Mm-hmm. So we'll put that link there for you guys. She has, what, 13, Selma, a lot of stuff that she's made is really, really good to speak to this. When They See Us.
There are a lot of resources. There are a lot of books. You know, I know a lot of my friends who are teachers, who are educators, who've been asking that question, you know, how can I, what's my sphere of influence? It's my classroom. Okay, well, how can I, as a teacher, you know, improve or have an impact in my sphere of influence? Books, read alouds. You know, I know a lot of what's going on right now is video, you know, video messages and video classroom lessons, right? So pick a book that shows the Black experience to read aloud or to have your students read, you know, in your classroom curriculum. You know, add those things in there, because waiting till February isn't going to cut it, you know? Don't wait till February. Don't wait till that day. You know, don't wait till like little pockets of time. Just go ahead and start incorporating that stuff into your curriculum on a regular basis, so that even if you have students who don't have any Black people around them, you know, they don't have any Black friends, they don't live in a community where there are any Black or brown people, they can get that from a book, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's another way that, for my teacher friends out there, that you guys can kind of bring that into your classroom culture.
I want to post that out as well for our teacher friends, because we come from that, we're all educators. So if you have questions, you're dealing with this thing in the classroom, put that in the comments, because not only are we really outspoken women who fight for the cause, but we know how to teach children, so we can help you, okay?
Yep. If you have recommendations for books, put that, you know, comment that as well. Let us know. Whatever resources you guys have that you want to share, let us know, because then we can share it out.
That's good. Dee, you mentioned like not waiting until February, Black History Month, to hear those Black stories. It reminds me of Blackout Tuesday that just happened this week. What did y'all think? What was some of the responses that you saw on Instagram or you saw on your social media? And what were some of the good, bad, and ugly that came from Blackout Tuesday?
Candace.
Well, I was gonna ask if anybody could tell me what was the purpose of Blackout Tuesday, because I went the whole day blacked out without any real understanding of it. I know that there were a lot of Black squares, and if you wrote Black Lives Matter under that Black square, somebody within minutes will tell you to take down that hashtag, because we wanted to make sure that information was being disseminated under that hashtag and not just a list of Black squares. To my surprise, because I thought, well, if we really cared about information getting out, then we should post information. Like I was quite unclear as what the purpose was.
Yeah, I think that was a general sentiment, that a lot of people were kind of confused as to what it was or what the purpose was supposed to be. And so yeah, there was a lot of that going on. And I think it was like, am I blacking out? So am I posting this Black square and then I'm not posting anything else for the rest of the day? But then you would see certain things, it was like, no, you can also still post, you know, things about Black companies and Black businesses and Black, you know, information about, you know, protests or rallies or whatever was going on. So it was a lot of, I think it was like a lot of stuff was unclear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, we even talked about that in terms of putting out our podcast. So it was like, mm-hmm. what do we decide to do? You know, what should we do? So that was, I think, a bit muddled. And so I think it would have been nicer to have a bit more of a clearer understanding of what was going on. Because like you said, it was just a bunch of black squares. And so then when you did go to the hashtag Black Lives Matter, it was just, that's all you saw.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then I think people, you know, tried to get it to be the hashtag Blackout Tuesday instead. But it was just kind of back and forth. But for me, I loved being able to see all of the black squares. Like when I scrolled through my Instagram feed, that's all I saw,
mm-hmm.
from black, white, brown, like everybody. And it was amazing that was happening. So I was really encouraged to see that. And then even, you know, celebrities posting or friends posting, and then, you know, people commenting on their posts and commenting on their feeds, and then them getting on videos to be like, no, this is what's going on. You know, I love that we were kind of having this discourse throughout the day, even in the confusion, because then people were able to kind of come in and say like, this is what's going on. This is what we're doing. Oh, okay. I got it. All right. I'm with y'all.
See that progression throughout the day. And one hashtag I started seeing was hashtag amplify black voices. And so that was kind of my takeaway from the day. It was like all of our non-black followers or people who are not black on social media, they kind of sat down for the day and they were like, okay, let's hear what the black community has to say. So once people kind of caught on about that, you saw a lot of black businesses promoted, which the fact that you have to be intentional to research black businesses, like black owned businesses, like I just thought like that's disturbing. Like we see there are white companies everywhere, but you have to actually do some homework to find a black owned business. But on Blackout Tuesday, people were freely promoting black artists, black music, black clothing stores, black restaurants, everything. And so it was more of like the hashtag says, amplify black voices. And people started to, throughout the day, share stories, share introductions. I saw some celebrities that were posting just a selfie and they would go into their profile like, hi, my name is so-and-so. I grew up like this. I attended this kind of school. This is my education. Basically saying like, here's my profile. I'm a person. Here's a glimpse into my personal life, which I thought was really good.
Yeah.
Mm. Delia, you mentioned that when you saw the black squares, it felt good. And I wonder, and you mentioned the solidarity that brought. So could it have been another image? Like if it were like the fist pump, or if it were everyone posting a black owned business, would that have had that same effect for you?
I think it would have, but probably would have had a different visual or like visceral response, because you know, it was just completely blacked out, right? So when you see one color of something, I think just visually your eyes kind of like, it kind of hits you in a different way, you know? So it could have been a black square, it could have been a brown square, it could have been, you know, whatever. I think just a solid color just across the board hits you in a different way than a bunch of different images of different things.
Okay.
Because then it's just kind of like, you're scrolling through and you're just kind of seeing people's pictures. Or people's graphics. So I think that solid color definitely had a bit of a stronger impact than, you know, different icons or different logos of different things. But it still would have had a very strong impact, and I would have definitely appreciated that solidarity either way. It's just visually, I think, as you see it, like you're just scrolling. And I scrolled for a while to kind of see like, okay, when's the next non-black, you know, image going to pop up, you know? And I kind of had this big goofy smile on my face because I loved seeing that, you know, and a lot of the people that I follow, even them, like Jazz said, they just kind of blacked out their day. They put it up and then they didn't post. And these are people who post multiple times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it for them for the whole 24 hours. So that was just encouraging to see.
Wow. I think my other, apart from being just kind of confused, my other problem with the black squares is that it was an election day. It was an election day. And we talked about this in the last episode. As beautiful as the look of a black square of solidarity is, it does not change legislation. It does not guarantee representation. And this was a primary in 8 states, right? So, and even in Missouri, we were voting on other issues throughout our different districts, and we'll get to that. But that was my other big problem. Like, oh man, we should have been telling people to get out to vote and to make their voices heard.
I agree. We could have absolutely mobilized people, but it's like, there's so many like phases, right? Like first is awareness, education, information, like Black Tuesday. I think people wanted it to be all of that, but it can't, like there's no way for all of that to be
right
done through a social media campaign. But on the good.
And there were people that did eventually start posting that, I saw. You know, so that information throughout was slowly kind of getting out throughout the day. Yeah.
But on a good note, Candace, share with us the news from Ferguson.
We did it. Well, here's the thing. I was a bit concerned about that. But despite, you know, social media not, you know, pushing this thing yesterday, a lot of states were already doing mail-in ballots, right? So according to the New York Times, there was an election in New Mexico. 17 women won the Democratic primaries in New Mexico yesterday. Iowa had 11 women win primaries. Where else? Somewhere else. Oh, D.C. In D.C., there is a Black woman who won a council seat there. And then good old Ferguson. Good old Ferguson with the come through. First time in history that a woman and a person of color have been able to take this seat in Ferguson after 6 years later after Mike Brown. And the funny thing, like what you might not know about Ferguson is that it is predominantly Black. So for there have never to been Black representation in this city that is, like when I say predominantly Black, like more than 50% Black, it was already like a shame. And then we believe like that's what led to the issues around Mike Brown, is that the people in charge and the people that they were representing were not in alignment. And so, yeah, we got our first African-American mayor of Ferguson yesterday on Blackout Tuesday. It's happening. It's happening. Who got next? Which one of y'all?
Since we're playing tennis, y'all keep passing the ball back and forth.
Well, that's the thing, though. It's like, okay, now where do we go from here, right? Like, what happens next? How do we move forward? What does that look like? How do we break this cycle, right? Mm-hmm. What happens next?
Mm-hmm. I think one of the big things that we were talking about before was the ally thing, right? And I feel like whatever happens next, it's got to be a mix of races. It's got to be a mix of gender. You can't leave, you know, anybody behind in this. Whatever happens will not happen on the backs of Black people alone. It will happen on the backs of us as a unified front.
It has to be. The engagement that we've seen this time, very different from previous situations. Very, very different. And so I hope that it wasn't just a social media campaign. I hope that it wasn't just a one-day thing where people are engaged, where people are listening, where people are educating themselves and hearing from Black people. I hope it's a step in the right direction that together we can move forward and together we can make change.
I think, I don't know, so there's something different, particularly here in Missouri, because it's a really segregated state. St. Louis is a very segregated city. I actually was educated under a desegregation program, and I'm not that old, like we talk in the 90s. So for us to be reaching that point where we understand what ally means, thanks to Jasmine's beautiful definition, but we're starting to see what that looks like here in St. Louis. Yesterday I marched in a protest, a very, very peaceful protest in the suburbs, this area that was basically invented due to white flight. So it's predominantly white. And some of the protest organizers from Ferguson and from North County, from Florissant, from this Black community, they got that understanding that if we keep protesting where everyone is Black, then the change won't come. And so they arranged to come out here to St. Charles and to protest in a predominantly white neighborhood. And when they made this arrangement, the police chief of St. Charles contacted those organizers and asked if they could protest with them. And so the protest began. We met at a meeting point. All of the police were there. Police chiefs shook hands with the organizers, and then they marched in front of us. And then we marched down Highway 94, and police and all people in hand. And I stood back just to get video. And I was shooting just legs. And when I tell you, it was hard to find a brown set of legs in this crowd. Like, it was predominantly non-African American protesters in this march. And we marched through historical parts of the city. So we're marching past like Lewis and Clark, you know, statues and signs that say save the water tower. Like, that's the biggest thing that's happening in this city, you know. And then people are chanting the names of all those that have been slain due to police brutality. And so I thought, it's happening. And there were several counties actually in Missouri where that happened, several predominantly white counties where people were laying on the ground for 8 minutes, just an allied force, really.
Did that feel like? Like, what did it feel like for you? Because when you posted on our group chat, I think it was late. It felt late on the East Coast.
It was late, yeah.
It was like 7 p.m.
I'm going out there. Okay, I'm just old and I go to bed early. When you're like, I'm going out there, and we both were like, okay, you know, like, what did it feel like to really get out there and take to the streets, like you said?
So I went with my younger sister, who's like 10 years younger than me. And so I feel like for her, this has a different kind of thing. And she said it felt like baptism. Like, it's anticlimactic going through it, right? But you know that inside something is different. Like, on the outside, nothing looks different, but everything is changed on your inside. And I was like, wow, like, that is a very interesting analogy. But I felt like that. I felt like we knew we were exactly where we were supposed to be at the right time in history. And it felt right. It just felt right, I guess.
That's great. It feels like it's been a week since our last episode, but some of the things that we talked about in the first episode, they're happening, and it's only
it's crazy.
It's really encouraging to see. It's beautiful, but it's just a reminder, like, there's more to be done.
There's more work.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
so we're going to keep this conversation going. We want you guys to chime in with our conversation. Hit us up on Instagram, on YouTube in the comments. Share this with your friends and your family. And just please, like, just know that from our hearts to yours, we are here. We're just speaking what we know, what we believe is truth. And we just want y'all to just join in with us. So please comment down below. Comment on Instagram. Come find us. Come say hi. We're here having a session, and we want y'all to be a part of it.
Yep. Until next time.
Until next time.